It's a Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last week's multiple minor earthquakes in an area just west of Newcastle were below a magnitude that humans can feel, but does that mean that we shouldn't be concerned about them? The other big question for seismologists to answer, whether the quakes were triggered by fracking. I'm joined now by phone by Professor Andrew Nyblade. He's a geosciences professor at Penn State University. Professor Nyblade, good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
And we are also scheduled to have Michael Brodzinski, a professor of geology at Miami University of Ohio, join us. We are still trying to get him on the line. In the meantime, we'll take your questions for Professor Nyblade at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email questions at esspgh at wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Professor Nyblade, if there were earthquakes in Newcastle last week and no one felt them, why should we be concerned about them?
That's a very good question. There have been earthquakes just over the border in Ohio that have been studied quite extensively, and they have been shown to be linked to fracking activity. And so I guess there is a concern that similar kinds of earthquakes could happen again in the area of, you know, along the Ohio-Pennsylvania border where there's a extensive fracking going on related to the Utica shale formation. And so I think the big question is, if they've happened in the past, will they continue? Can they happen in the future? And then how big might those earthquakes eventually get? The earthquakes that happened in Poland Township in Ohio in 2014, the largest was a magnitude 3, and then operations were ceased after that. And so we don't know, you know, if fracking were to continue, say, in that case, how big the earthquakes might have gotten. So certainly they were large enough in that case, I think, to be felt. If they're around a magnitude 3 or so, they can be felt. If they're smaller, around magnitude 2, such as the events that happened in Pennsylvania last week, then certainly they're not going to be felt, and they don't pose a threat. But the question is whether larger earthquakes could happen in the future.
And there is the idea that low-energy events like this are pretty common for this area. There are those who say that this happens all the time and that we shouldn't be jumping to any conclusions, least of all saying that, oh, it's fracking that's causing this. Is that true?
Well, we don't know. For the events that happened last week, we don't know for sure whether they were fracking-induced seismic events. And there's a correlation in time and space with activities at one of the well pads, which suggests that there might be a link, but we don't know that for sure. We need to do a lot more investigation of the events and modeling of the data that we collected. There are small earthquakes, magnitude 2 and smaller earthquakes quite commonly across the state, and they're caused by various reasons. There are natural events. For example, just on the 18th of April, there was a magnitude 2.2 earthquake near Titusville. And so there are natural earthquakes of that magnitude happening across the state. And there are also blasting events from coal mines and quarries that happen quite frequently that are equivalent to magnitude 2 events. And yes, there are lots of there's lots of seismic activity at that level, and it's too small for anyone to feel, really.
Okay, and we have Michael Brodzinski on the line, geology professor from Miami University in Ohio. Welcome, Professor Brodzinski. You're in a place where we know that there were earthquakes a few years ago that were linked to fracking, correct? So we know this is certainly possible.
Yeah, that's right. That was the case we had just across the border into Ohio. And in fact, there have been a few other cases in Ohio where we've seen a really good correlation between the hydraulic fracturing operations and small earthquakes, small seismic events associated with them. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but looking both across the United States as well as globally, these kinds of events are quite rare. We only have a handful of cases that we've seen them yet. And so that, you know, it's part of the reason we want to be cautious about over-interpreting the events last week. We want to make sure we can see for sure that they would be related.
Should we be concerned? The question, the first question that I posed to Professor Nyblade was, you know, if we couldn't tell, if we didn't know that these earthquakes were happening, then why should it even be something to be concerned about?
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's two things I would say. Yeah, one is, yeah, I don't think we should be overly concerned about earthquakes, you know, below a magnitude 2 size. But I think with anything, they are indicators that there might be an increased risk of a larger event happening. And so I think it's wise to take precautionary measures when an earthquake of this size is happening near an operation at the same time the operation is taking place. And I would say, you know, a good situation took place here where the operator voluntarily stopped their operations when they recognized earthquakes, and so they're taking a very precautionary approach, and that's I think one that we as scientists would advocate for. And so I think, you know, it's really just trying to be overly cautious to make sure that we don't produce an event that would either be felt or potentially damaging. And so those magnitude sizes, you know, what I'm talking about there is the magnitude 3 size is typically where things are felt, and the magnitude 4 and above is where we can potentially experience damage. So we're certainly trying to avoid those cases, but, you know, at a level below a magnitude 2, you know, we're a couple orders of magnitude away from that.
And there was the event that happened in the middle of 2011, so nearly 5 years ago now, that people did feel in this part of the country. We felt it in Pittsburgh, in Washington, D.C., Maryland. What caused that? And does that have any correlation or any link to what we're discussing now and what happened last week?
Yeah, it sounds like you might be referring to the Virginia earthquake. Is that the one that you're recounting? There was an earthquake in the magnitude 5 range that happened in the Virginia area that was felt widely across the eastern U.S. And so that's an event that people have looked at in some detail. That does not appear to be an event that was induced by human activity. It's in a zone, a fault zone, that has been known about for some time. And so it's not a particularly active one, not one that we experience those kind of quakes regularly, but certainly something that turned out to be helpful in some respects, that produced a lot of measurements of ground motion that can be used to try and better engineer buildings in the eastern U.S. We don't have earthquakes as commonly in this part of the U.S., but when they do happen, they give us an opportunity to try and make sure that we're prepared in terms of how our buildings are built and precautions that we can take. There was another event towards the end of 2011 that may not have been felt in Pittsburgh, but was certainly felt in Ohio. This was in the Youngstown area.
Right.
That event right at the end of 2011, that was an event that was related to oil and gas operations. Now, it's not a hydraulic fracturing case like we've been discussing near where these more recent earthquakes have taken place. This was a case where the wastewater that's produced from the hydraulic fracturing process is injected deep down into the earth to avoid it getting into our drinking water. So, you know, it's actually an environmentally responsible action to try and dispose of this wastewater deep down in the earth so that it can't contaminate the water that we use for drinking. But we have found several cases now, this being one of them, where injecting deep down in the earth can be too close to faults in some cases, and the amount of fluid injected can influence those faults, cause them to slip, and that can produce some earthquakes. And so this is something that is commonly occurring now in Oklahoma. It appears that large volumes of wastewater being disposed in Oklahoma are a primary reason they're experiencing many earthquakes there.
In places where researchers have linked fracking to earthquakes, like England, Canada, Oklahoma, sites in eastern Ohio. What did they find? Is this what you're talking about, or was there something else?
So a little bit different pattern. So in the case where wastewater disposal is going on, that's a longer process. So that can go on for many years, depending on where the water is coming from, how much water there is to dispose of. That process can last several years, and so the earthquakes can go on for long periods of time. In the cases where they're tied to hydraulic fracturing operations, the earthquakes are really restricted in time. They occur during particular stages of the operation. It appears in a few of these cases where we have good recordings that even certain stages that happen to be closest to where the fault is below the operation, those are the stages that are triggering earthquakes. These stages in the hydraulic fracturing process last several hours in some cases. So you can see earthquake activity, sort of a flurry of small seismicity occurring over a couple hours, and then it's quiet for a couple hours, and then when they start the next stage, you'd see another flurry of microseismicity. And so that's a hallmark of this relationship between when the hydraulic fracturing is occurring and that it's triggering the earthquakes underneath them.
We would encourage listeners who want to join the conversation with a comment or a question. We have a few minutes left here. You can email us at ESSPGH, also, at WESA, ESSPGH at WESA.FM. That's ESSPGH at WESA.FM on Twitter at ESSPGH. Researchers have identified earthquakes as large as magnitude 2.8, as well as clusters of tiny seismic disturbances associated with fracking in the Utica Shale and Point Pleasant Formation in Harrison County, Ohio, since 2013. Professor Brudzinski, you have investigated both of those cases. What did you find?
Yeah, it's consistent. We published a study now, as well as one that was done in 2014 by another group that finds this pattern I was just describing, that you'd see these flurries of small seismicity down below, even magnitude 1 size, that occur during the time frame of particular stages of the operation. And so, again, that's one of those hallmarks that we look for to see, you know, whether or not the hydraulic fracturing is inducing the seismicity. Now, again, these cases are quite rare. That the number of hydraulic fracturing operations, in Pennsylvania has been in the thousands, and have not seen any cases where you'd see this kind of pattern. And so, this most recent case is one that we're looking into. That it could be the first case that we've seen in Pennsylvania. But one of the big differences between this most recent case versus most of the operations in Pennsylvania is the rock layer that's being targeted. I think many folks in Pennsylvania have heard about the Marcellus Shale. That's the primary target with a lot of natural gas in it. The formation that's primarily targeted in Ohio is this deeper, the Point Pleasant Utica formation. And so one of the hypotheses we have is that deeper formation is closer to the deeper rocks that are more faulted, and that may pose a greater risk for this the smaller seismicity that we're talking about, the magnitude 2 and 3 size events. That the closer you are to where the faults are, that may increase the risk.
Professor Nyblade, we've got about a minute left. Could low energy events like this be common for this area from here on out because of what's going on?
It's possible, but I think that with the monitoring system that we are putting in place for the state, that events of this magnitude will be well detected and located. And so if there are event sequences like this that kick up, that we will be able to detect them quickly. And if there is a correlation with any drilling activity, then the Department of Environmental Protection will be alerted, and they can make a decision about what to do.
Okay.
So I don't see there's any real concern.
And how difficult is it? We've got about 20 seconds here. How difficult is it to predict earthquakes in areas with unknown faults?
Very. essentially impossible. This is one of the unfortunate things about seismology right now is we can't predict earthquakes. Where, when, magnitude, those are things that are beyond our grasp right now.
All right. Well, we'll just have to prepare for maybe being a little shaken up in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. I want to thank both of our guests, Michael Brzezinski, geology professor at Miami University in Ohio, and also Andrew Nyblade, a geosciences professor at Penn State. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying so long for now.